up to. We're up to. Let's continue. I know it's late. I'm sorry. I got bogged down today. Phone calls. Okay, we're up to page. Right after the Ketzef. Okay, we're up to. Pasuk Ches. Okay, Pasuk Ches on page 148. Okay, 1948. Isn't that funny? We're up to page 148. Let's go see the number 9. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Welcome back. How are you? Okay, so we're up to page 148, Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, Perek Yud, Pasuk Ches, V'nishmedu b'mos oven, Chatas Yisrael. The pasuk continues describing the demise of the Aseres Hashvatim, the churban of the Aseres Hashvatim, the churban of the two Agolim, the Egel Hazav in Shem, the Egel Hazav in Basel, and the Egel Hazav in Dan. And it says here, the Nishmedu Bamos Oven, the Bamos of Oven. Oven is that's a lashon, we had that 2 days ago. We're calling Basel. He's making Leitzonis, Kol Leitzenusa, Asira, Mibar Leitzenusa, the Avoidas Kochavim. He's calling Basel, Base Oven. Chatas, Yisrael, the sin of the Jewish people. Koitz Vedado Yala al Mizbechoisam, it's going to be desolate. Thorns and thistles will come forth on their altars. And the Omru Leharim, Kasunu, the people will say to the mountains, cover us. The lagvois niflu olenu, fall upon us. Very frightening idea, where the people are saying that it would be better for us to be buried alive than to experience what's coming next. The exile, the torture that's going to come upon us when Ashur takes us into their land. Better the mountains and the hills collapse upon all of us. Let's see the Mitzudos David Pasuk Ches. The Nishmedu the Oz Yishamdu Habamas. Okay, the Nishmedu means then they'll be destroyed. The Bamas Shabes Aven Shem Hayuchatas Yisrael. The Bamas at this point in time when Shemroin collapses, it comes to an end. The Bamas will that was set up for the worship of idols will be demolished, will be destroyed, and the sin of the Yisrael which is the sin of the Jewish people, koitz v'dardar, thorns and thistles, kilo yavo misham v'yu shemama, will be a place of desolation, which will lead to just will be a ghost town. The whole Eretz Yisrael will be a ghost town. The next page. The next page in the Mitzudos David, the people will say in page 151, V'amru leharim kasunu, the people will say to the mountains, cover us, l'man lo yireim mi bivosh, no one should see bivosh, bivoshtam, no one should see our shame. Okay, so it seems that the Mitzudos David is taking this pasuk back to the pasuk we learned yesterday, pasuk vav. Pasuk Vav, where it emphasizes the shame. Gam oisol asher yuvol. If you go back to that pasuk Vav, where it says that the agolim, the gold, the valuable agolim, will be delivered, will be brought to the nation of Ashur as a gift. Lemelech Yorev. Yorev, we learned, was another word for Melech Ashur. He was called Yorev because he quarreled with the world. He made world wars to conquer the entire world. And the pasuk there says, Boshna Ephraim. Yikoch, Ephraim, we had different translations, but the simple translation was Ephraim. We read the words backwards. Ephraim will take for himself at this point in time, Boshes. V'yevosh Yisrael me'atzasai, and the Aseres HaShvatim will be filled with shame due to the counsel of Yeravam ben Nevat, going back to the start, the origin of the Aseres HaShvatim, when they made for themselves their own nation, and they centered their religion around the Agolim. At this point in time, there's going to be Boshes, and as we discussed 2 days ago, two different types of Boshes. There's the word Boshna, that's Choser, and then there's Yevosh, that's Male. There was a Boshes that's Choser and a Boshes that's Male, which we try to expand upon and explain, that refers to an inner embarrassment and an embarrassment in front of the entire world. Here, Mitzudos David in this pasuk that we've just read is appearingly, seemingly connecting pasuk Ches to pasuk Vav. Now that we feel such intense shame, we halavai, the mountains should cover us. It's just nothing more than an expression. I told you, I translated it means we should be buried alive. We'll see others in Farshim say that idea. But the Mitzudos David appears to say is that due to the intensity of our embarrassment, halavai, we should be able to conceal, to hide the shame from the world. And we're using a metaphor of the mountains and the hills. Now also, you have to realize that the mountains and the hills is a very powerful metaphor throughout Chazal. The mountains always refer, many times refers to the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The givahois refer to the imahois, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. Says in Shir HaShirim, Mekabetz al Harim, Mekabetz, maybe you can help me with the pasuk, Mekabetz al Harim, I miss what's the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, but the mountains and the hills, Doileg, what?
No, Mekabetz al Harim, Medaleg al
Harim. Koifetz, Kol Dodigne Zeba, Mekabetz al Harim, the Doileg al Harim.
Say again? The other way around.
Yeah, that's what I said, the other way around.
What's the, how it goes again? Say it, how was it? Those are the two words. What do Chazal interpret that pasuk that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to skip and jump? Right. What do we mean skip and jump? That even though we are not deserving of redemption, Hashem will skip over, overlook our chesronos in the merit of the Harim and the Givos. What are the Harim? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. What are the hills? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. So if we take that idea, that's not the only place where it says this concept that mountains and hills refer to. Esa Einai El Harim. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. What does that mean? I look to the others. We try to draw inspiration from the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There are many examples in Chazal where the mountains are the Avos and the hills are the Imahos. If we take that idea and we inject it into this pasuk, it has a very beautiful meaning. And the pasuk over here means here, when at this point in time, when the Aseres HaShvatim are going into exile and they realize all of their altars, their altars are being destroyed, then what are they going, they say, they go and they knock on the door, they go to the Beis HaKvaros, like with Yirmiyah did, we read about this in the Kinois, where he goes to the Beis HaKvaros, to Avraham, to the Meres Machpelah, and he says, wake up, Avos, help us. He goes to Avraham, Yitzchak, and has a conversation with them in the Kinos, exactly what happens. And at the end, he also goes to the Imahis. And the very end, we know the Medrash is that in the Zuchus of Rachel Mevake al Boneha, in the merit that she gave over the Simonim to Leah, that she should not be embarrassed, Hashem said to her, Yesh Socher Litzocher Lefulaseich, and there will be a redemption. So taking that idea, here we have over here the terrible Averos, and now they're going into exile, the Omru. And the Klal Yisrael at that moment in time is going to look back to their history and they're going to say to the mountains, Kasunu, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, help us. Melech Ashur is exiling us. He's torturing us. Cover us. In other words, shelter us. Shelter us in Golos. Vilagvaos. And the Imahos, we beg them, Niflu Aleinu, fall upon us, meaning cover us, shelter us, protect us from what is coming upon us. And by the way, just Derech Agav, I saw this very recently, Mogain. What is the word Mogain? Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogain Avraham. It's a very nice Rosh Tevos. I don't know if it really means anything with the Makaris, but Mogain is Rosh Tevos, Mamoin Guf Neshama. So when we are mispalo to Hashem that He should protect us, what do we want Him to protect us? We want Him to protect our body, our guf, our mamoin, and our neshama. Here we're asking the mountains and the hills to protect us. We're really asking, coming on to the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Imahos to protect us and to shelter us in this terrible moment of Golus at the time of the Churban. And indeed, we have a precedent for this because indeed, during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, Like I said, that's the kina of the Shechina. There are two kinas, they're out of order. Everyone knows they're out of order, is where Yirmiyah meets a woman dressed in black. She's filthy, dirty. But when he looks at her very closely, he sees that her features are beautiful. It's a beautiful, exquisitely beautiful woman, but happens to be dressed in black and is filthy, dirty. If only she would clean herself and put on new clothing, she would be a princess. So he says, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And she says, I am, I don't know the right words, I represent Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. I represent the Shechina, which is now in a matzav of pain. I am the beautiful Klal Yisrael, and now due to the sins of Klal Yisrael, I am suffering, and I am in pain, and that's why I appear to you the way I do. I do indeed have beautiful features, but I'm filthy due to the sins of Klal Yisrael. And at the end of that kina, she says to Yirmiyah, what are you sitting around here doing nothing? Go to the Ma'oras HaMachpelah and be mispalel for Klal Yisrael. And then there's the next kina, which is where indeed he goes to Avraham. And Avraham Avinu, what happens when he goes to Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu is mispalel to Hashem, and Hashem says, "I'm sorry, I can't help you. The sins are too great." Yitzchak, he says, "What about the Akedah? Sorry, Yaakov, Tsar, Gidl Banim, nothing doing." And he goes to Moshe, and Moshe is mispalel, and Hashem says, "Sorry." And he goes to Aaron. He goes to all the Yishpizim, some of the different versions of the Midrashim, and then it says he goes to all of the Imois. And all of the Himos, and even it says that he goes to Zbila and Zilpa. I always like to talk about this, that Bila, we know almost nothing about Bila and Zilpa. It's shocking, because how many of the Shvatim are from Bila and Zilpa?
Four
of the Shvatim. Most of us, who know Bila and Zilpa? And yet, they are the mothers of Klal Yisrael, and there's kimat, not a word, anywhere in Chumash and Chazal that tell us about their Midos, tell us about their accomplishments, who they were.
Mothers.
What?
Who were their mothers?
I don't know. Some say it was Lavan. Some
right.
say
no,
Lavan.
Lavan was the father.
Yeah, but
right.
Lavan,
you
who
know.
Was the mother?
Well, first of all, who says Lavan was their father? That's a very big chiddush to say such a thing, that Lavan
right.
was their father, and they just, the second fiddle, right? What's going on over here?
Yeah.
All right, it's a very, very big mystery. It's a very big mystery as to who
they
these...
Supposedly.
What?
They
doesn't say anything about them. We don't know. We know almost nothing about them.
No point speculating. We have no clue.
We really do not know. But this kina is a fascinating kina, because it's one of the few places where it talks about them, and it says they were banging on their chests. It says that when Yirmiyah went to Bila, where they buried. Were they buried, Bila and Zilpa? How come only Sar, Rivka, Rachel were married to the Maris Machpelah? They're the mother of four Shvatim and Klal Yisrael. What?
I'm sorry.
Rachel isn't Kevin Rachel. I'm sorry. I'm just not thinking right. But what about, but where is Bila and Zilpa? Well, they don't merit burial. They don't merit, we should go to the Ekvarim. They are the mothers of four of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. What happened to them? One third of Klal Yisrael comes from Bila and Zilpa. And what happened to them? A third is not a significant number. A third is a very significant number. Well, how come they're not mentioned? Yeah. So, but yet in this kina is one of the very few kinas where it actually mentions that Bila and Zilpa were banging, they're pounding their chests. They were taking their hands and banging in enormous pain over the imminent Chorban of Klal Yisrael. And the kina concludes that Hashem says, "Yes, I will listen to you." Now, this is a very big problem, because this kina, all the mefarshim on the kina, they tell you, "Oh, go look in this medrash." And in the medrash that they cite, the medrash concludes that it was only in the zuchus of Rachel, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescind his decree and reveal Yesh Sochar Lefula Seich, there will be a geula in the future of Bayish Lishi in the merit of what Rachel did. But that's not what it says in the kina. In the kina, it says that Hashem answered all of the imois. The men were all got a no. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. Anyone else? Not kina. I don't remember. I think it was just those four. The Hashem said outright to them, no, 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 I'm sorry, you don't have enough merit. But the Imahois, all of them, including Bila and Zilpah, together, Hashem said, I accept your prayer and there will be a gula. That kina is at odds with the Medrash, which says, yeah.
Or that girsa of the Medrash.
Right. So the truth is, first of all, one thing we know for sure, we have lost many Midrashim. The collection of Midrashim that we have today, that we have access to today, is not the complete set. There are many more Midrashim that have been, all the Mefarshim say this. And that's why every so often you find Rishonim that say things, and they say it says in the Medrash, and we don't know what they're talking about. There is no such Medrash. With all the computers, all the supercomputers today can't find any reference to what they're talking about. And this is very common. This is I'm telling you which it says often.
There are many duplicative Midrashim.
Which conflict.
Yeah.
That completely disagree with one another. And, you know, you can say Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim, or you can say there are different opinions. It's not necessarily so that they can both be correct. Any event, a lot of the kinois are drawing from Midrashim. And if you're going to say that there are other Midrashim that conflict with what we have, this Midrash seems to say that in the merit of all of the Imahos, they were spirit. Indeed, I think there's a famous story from one of the, I don't remember who says, but they say that the Chazal say, Tamu Zuchus Avos, that we no longer have Zuchus Avos, but we still have Zuchus Imahos. The Zuchus Imahos never came to an end. And that fits very well with the Kina, where Hashem indeed just accepted. The Imahos were Mispalel, and Hashem accepted their prayer, and Hashem said there will be Geula. And I think that's also I think about Rabbi Wolfson. He has a very beautiful idea on this. He says that's why he says that pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Hashem is medaleg al harim and mekabetz al hagivos. Which word is a stronger word, medaleg or mekabetz? Medaleg means what? Mekabetz. Which is a stronger word? So I don't remember all the details, but he shows that the word mekabetz is a much more powerful word. It has a connotation of a much stronger degree of skipping. Medaleg means you just, you know, you walk quickly and
maybe
you...
Maybe it's a bigger med, you know what I mean? You miss it, it's like it's not there. You're going over it.
Diluk, yet. And mekabetz.
It's like the mountains weren't even there. You have to jump over a mountain, that's an
mekabetz. It doesn't even...
It doesn't exist, you know, it's easier.
Dilug is an expression. Dilug is an expression which is not as strong as mekapetz. Mekapetz is an expression which is a much more intense. And Rabbi Wolfson says, you see from this is that when it comes to the imahos, which Chazal tell us is rooted in the word in the hills, the imahos are rooted in the hills. Hashem is much more gracious. Hashem completely ignores the problem, and he gives us benefit in their merit. So okay, that's an idea, and it fits perfectly into this pasuk here. The Amru Lehorim Kasun Klal Yisrael, when they're coming at the very end to be Mavakish Rachamim from the Avos and from the Imahos. It's also very interesting. So today is Yom Atzmaut. It's very interesting is that here when they're leaving Eretz Yisrael, they're not coming to ask merit from Moshe, from Aaron, from David, from the Ushpizin. Who are they coming to ask merit from? The Avos, the Harim, the mountains, and the hills. Because who was Eretz Yisrael given to? Not to Moshe, not to Klal Yisrael Har Sinai. The land was given to the Avos. So here where the people are being exiled from the land, they're focusing on the Avos. It's very vulgar from the Rambam. First, the Rambam says there are Taryag Mitzvahs. They're in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Everyone knows Sefer HaMitzvahs. And the Rambam enumerates all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. And there's one mitzvah he leaves out. He leaves out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How could it be that the Rambam omits one of the most fundamental concepts of Yadus? The concept of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Where did it go? So one of the popular answers, very powerful answer, is when the Rambam begins the counting of the mitzvahs, he makes it very clear. These are the mitzvahs that were given to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Taryag mitzvahs. But there's a 614th mitzvah that was given to us, not by Moshe, by the Avos. The land was promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It was not given to Klal Yisrael through Moshe. It was already given. So when the Rambam counts the Taryag mitzvahs, he deliberately omits Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because that's old news. That's already something which pre-existed before Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's in the league by itself. What?
It says that Hashem gave the land to the Avos, but it doesn't say they have to live in it.
So that's what you have land. That's what you do with land. That is the definition of giving the land. It's your homeland. Giving you land doesn't mean as a tourist attraction to come once a month. That's a new modern day concept. A new idea where you have property you don't live on. This is a whole new world for investment purposes. It's a new world. This is the new era. But that's not the way that's not the way it existed in the ancient times. If you have land, that's where you live. That's what it means.
You're home.
Therefore, it's very appropriate that when there's an issue of golos from Eretz Yisrael, the focus is on the Avos. The focus is not on Matan Torah and beyond. Moshe, in fact, himself did not enter into Eretz Yisrael, as much as he desired to come because of the chet of the Meham Meriva. But in the big picture of things, you have to understand that was not Moshe's role. Moshe's role was to give the Torah. Moshe did not give us Eretz Yisrael. Just like according to the Rambam, he did not give us the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He does not count, the Rambam does not count the pasuk in Parashas, Parashas Maaseh? Maaseh v'snachaltem oisam levneichem acharechem l'resh sachuza.
That's the end of the last pasuk of Bahar.
Tisnachalu, so he does not learn that as a command. He learns that as just a Nevuah prophecy of what's going to be. How could it be? The Rambam completely ignores what appears to be a mitzvah. All of the other Rishonim who also have compiled a list of mitzvahs do include the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in their list. So the answer is no. The Rambam is clear in his Hakdamah that we're discussing the mitzvahs that were given to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai through Moshe Rabbeinu. Eretz Yisrael was given to Klal Yisrael through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And nothing changed. Nothing changed, so therefore it's not necessary for that to be part of the list. And it creates for us an awareness that our connection to the land is a direct connection to the Avos. It's the Avos. When you're in Chutz Li'aretz, you're missing the Avos. What is the mile of living in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, you can talk about this for days, for weeks, for years. What's the mile of living in Eretz Yisrael? But a most fundamental point, Chutz Li'aretz is a land where we're Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, we sanctify the land outside of Eretz Yisrael, but we're connecting only to Moshe. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's not just your connection to Judaism is through Moshe Rabbeinu. Your connection to Judaism is through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. That creates a whole new dimension, a whole new world in your observance, in your religion, when you're connecting to the Avos. We're not connecting here to the Avos in the Chutz Li'aretz. We say in Shemona Esra, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. Yeah, we think we talk about it, but we're not lemaisa. Lemaisa, we're not doing something of a deeper significance in Chutz Li'aretz, because Chutz Li'aretz is Chutz Li'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's a whole new world, whole new appreciation of what Eretz Yisrael is all about. And to a degree, we see that here when the people are finally being exiled, who are they crying to? They're crying to the mountains and the hills. And the mountains and the hills in Chazal's eyes is a code word for the Avos and the Imahos. We're now going to lose it. We're leaving. We're leaving. We're losing it. We halavai, they should fall upon us. They should collapse upon us. We should not leave the connection to Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Sarif, Ruchaleah, and whatever that means about the Bil and Zilpah, which is a very big mystery, where they connect to us, how they connect to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so let's see over here.
The Chuma that says that when the brothers went down to Mishraim, they asked Bila advice how to deal with
Bila. Why Bila? Why Bila? So Bila came from Egypt. She moved out of Egypt. She had some interesting, very interesting.
According to this, they died in Eretz Yisrael because they weren't with the Shivim Nefesh who went down.
They were not with the Shivim Nefesh who went down.
Yeah, they were alive when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Or somewhere in the
oh, they counted in the Shivim.
They counted.
Yeah. Are they? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so the
neighbor they're in the 33. They counted.
That's right.
Okay, so this is a very big mystery, but in any event, we have a very good drush, the mountains and the hills. Okay, let's take...
The question is, Mara has, they have sisters. What happened to them? The wives of the Yishvatim.
Let's take a look at Rashi Pasuches, Bamos Oven, Bamos Beisel. This goes back to what Rashi told us before, that this is just a derogatory term. We take El and we turn into oven. Koitz v'dado yale al mizbech ha'isam. Koitz thorns and this shall come upon the altars. Shagolu oivdeim v'eid oipo alehem. The worshippers have gone into exile. V'eid oipo alehem. There's no one now to minister upon these altars that were built from the Tzar Stif. They had full of thorns and thistles. V'yamru Yisrael l'horim l'chasun shlo yir'unu oyveinu b'vashtenu. The same thing that the Mitzudah said, that they should not see our embarrassment. Our embarrassment to cover our embarrassment. Boshes, Chazal say, is Rosh HaTevos, or levush. What's levush? Levush is clothing. Why is levush, why is that the term? Lo bosh. Levush is Rosh HaTevos. There should not be embarrassment. When one is naked, he's embarrassed. Clothing covers one's embarrassment. That's why they're crying to the mountains, cover us. They should not witness our shame. Okay, now there's another type of clothing. This clothing that's not for shame. This cover that the person already is covered. But there's clothing that's lechavoid ulesefares, and that is called. This levush and beged. Beged is, what's the other word? Beged? I don't remember. Okay, there are two different types of clothing. Two different types of clothing. Clothing that takes away embarrassment and clothing which is l'chavol safaris. This is very interesting. I think the Chazal say that on Yom HaKippurim, the clothing the Kohen Gadol wore, at least at one point in time when he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Lavan, he only wore four garments, not eight garments. Those garments were fashioned from material, linen, that came from Egypt, the most expensive, fine linen in the world. And what was the advantage of that linen? It was sheer. It was so fine that it was see-through. You can see through the clothing. That was the nature of the clothing. So the question is, what's the purpose of wearing it then? If the whole reason why one wears clothing is to cover one's shame and embarrassment, there should be loy boish. If the Kohen Gadol is wearing sheer garments on Yom HaKippurim, what's the purpose? The answer is, because the Torah says, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol is not to cover shame. It's l'chavoid ulesifares. It is for honor and glory, who he was. In the Beis HaMikdash, before the Chet of Eitz Hadas, there was no Yetzer Hara. And when there is no Yetzer Hara, there is no shame. It says the Farish in the Pasuk, Adam v'chavur arumim, arumim, what does it say? The lo yisposhashu, they were not embarrassed. When they ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Eitz Har entered, they were embarrassed. The Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is expected whatever this means, not obviously, whatever tekufa, ideally, to reach a level of Adam HaRishayim before the Chet, where there is no Yetzihara. We find very strange in the Beis HaMikdash there was no Yetzihara. For example, by the Sota. The Sota, what do? They saw they uncovered her. She was naked. They ripped off her shirt. How could you rip off a woman's shirt in the holiest place in the world? In the Beis HaMikdash, from all places, Pritzus? The answer is, so the Gemara talks about it. The Gemara says, well, it depended on the Tekufa, but ideally, Klal Yisrael is on a level, a very holy level. In the Beis HaMikdash itself, there is no Yetzihar. So a Kohen who's in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't an issue. It was a piece of wood. Now, the Gemara mentions that, well, Klal Yisrael was not always...
The Sota wasn't naked. It was the ones who are being killed by Haruge Bezdin.
Oh, no, the Sota also, it says they ripped her shirt.
Yeah, but she wasn't naked.
Right, but at least the top. If it fell off a Torah, the Gemara says. But how could they even do such a thing? So the answer is, Bizman Shayishal Isim Ritzan Shal Makom, at least in the Makom of the Hashroa Sashchina, it's not an issue. The Gemara mentions, but you know, it wasn't always like that.
About to die, you don't get a...
But it wasn't always like that. And because the Klal Yisrael was not always on that level, the Yetzihar was very much alive in the Beis HaMikdash. So then they did not allow young Kohanim to be present. We only had Zakenim. They also have a Yetzihar. Don't make any mistake. You can be 90 years old, you can have a Yetzihar also. But obviously it means people who were... Already, you know, it's a different story. Like doctors see people like this every single day. They don't have any Yetzihara. This is what they do. It's a different level. So there was a Kanim. But the Gemara acknowledges that it wasn't always so ay ay ay. But the Kohen Gadol, Bizman, Shabes, it says in the Ferish of the Gemara, the clothing that he wore were linen, made from linen. The fibers were taken from Egypt, which was the best that the world had to offer, and it was so fine and perfect, it was sheer. A person can see right through the clothing. So where's the boshes? Levush. Levush is to take away embarrassment. The answer is, no, there are two types of clothing. There's clothing which takes away embarrassment, and there's clothing which is of the Kohanim, lechavod ulesefares, for honor and for glory. So normally it's both. Normally clothing has the basic principle that at first it takes away the embarrassment, and also a certain type of clothing also adds dignity.
Yeah, but the Torah also says,
erva. That was for the Kohen Hediot. Erva. You're right. But this is the Gemara. The Gemara says this. The Gemara says beferish that for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur they had special linen which was sheer. And the Mefarshim, what's going on over here? Like your kasha, Yom Kippurim the Kohen Gadol of Naiv Lefanim is different. Trying to reenact what life was like before at the time before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, where there is no Boshes, and what purpose would clothing then serve? It would serve lechavoid ulesefares. So it's amazing. You have clothing that are sheer. So the boshes element, it's not there. There's no avera. So you don't need to take away embarrassment. But yet the clothing provide dignity because they're beautiful. And it enhances the body.
Yeah, but the reason why it was aram.
Yeah.
Not a step. So
because the erva should not be uncovered. So that was for the Kohen Hediot. That was the whole year round. That was not in the Kohen Shakaloshim. That was for the Kohen, all the average man, the Kohen Hediot, and it was in the Az. That's not in the Kohen Shakaloshim. Once a year, did the Kohen Gadol put on special linen clothing, which was sheer, but not the whole year, and not the Kohanim, the regular Kohanim, because obviously we're not living in such a world. We're living in a world where the Yetzihara is very healthy. Very alive and well, and has taken on many forms, has really spiraled out of control. So here we have this idea where see, it's also a very interesting idea. What Rashi over here is saying is that the chait, there's a lot of depth here in this concept. What's happening with Rashi and the Mitzudos. We're discussing it. What was the first chait of this world? Was the chait of Eitz Hadas, the way the Torah expresses the manifestation, the consequences of the chait was boshes. Before the chait, it says they were. That's the whole first parasha. They were naked. Now they sinned. They ate from the Eitz Hadas. So if you were writing Chumash, you go give the average verse. Tell me the difference between before the chait, Eitz Hadas, after. So you would write a whole Sefer Kabbalah that now the person is a Yetzer Hara. It would be to us a side point. Oh, the fact that until now when they were naked, they're embarrassed, and after they did the Avera, now they're embarrassed and they need to put on clothing. Yeah, that's true. No one's denying that's a fact. But that's not the Ikar. You would say that until now, man was on an exalted spiritual level, and the malachim, and this and that, and there was a kirvas elokim, and now that man sinned, you know, he's in a lot of trouble. He has all these problems, and the shechina left him, and this left him, and that left him, and you can make a long analysis. You would not put front and center the concept, until now he's embarrassed to be naked, and now he was not embarrassed. Now he's embarrassed. Okay, that's a side point. Yet that's the only thing that the Torah deals with and speaks about when describing the difference before and after the first sin of man. There's something special about the first. The first is very, very significant. That's the only thing which we focus on. Shame, embarrassment. Until now, there was no shame, and now there's shame. Here, we're discussing the last sin. Fast forward to the time of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. This is the last sin. The world took all these thousands of years to reach a level where man comes to recognize Hashem. Avraham Avinu took 1,948 years for a person to come into this world to recognize that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and from him came a nation, and that nation had to go through a purification process by going to Mitzrayim, spending there 210 years, and then going in the desert 40 years, and then living in Eretz Yisrael for 440 years until they merited to first build the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash existed for 410 years, and things got worse and worse, and now the last sin has been committed. They've worshipped idols. We learned about the cholak libam sinas chinam. They've reached the lowest point where Hashem says it's over. The world is over. It's over. This is the last sin. Out. Leave. Vayugoresh. Just like after Adam committed the first sin, he was driven out of Gan Eden, out, and Hashem put the swords, the lahav hamisapeches, to prevent them, the cher hamisapeches, to prevent them from coming back inside. Here, Klal Yisrael has committed their last sin, at least the Aseres HaShvatim, and Hashem basically is throwing them out of Gan Eden. What is the Gan Eden of this world? Eretz Yisrael, the place where of Kedusha. Out, arois. Leave Gan Eden. You've committed the last sin. And look at the parallel. Just like after they committed the first sin, the way it's described is embarrassment. No embarrassment, embarrassment. That is the emphasis. We're leaving. Here we go. Nidme Shemalka, the king, is Ketzef. He's a goner. Vinish to Bomos, they're now going with Kaitz for Dado Yal Al Mizbuchaisan. And what are we focusing on? Shame. They're embarrassed. They say to the mountains, cover us. The Gavos, cover us, because as the Matsus and Rashi very precisely, it's the last thing is shame. Like it said in the pasuk we learned yesterday, the day before, whatever it was, that Ephraim yikoch v'yevosh, boshna Ephraim v'yikoch. Ephraim will take boshes. V'lo yis boshashu, now there's boshes. You've committed the last sin. V'yevosh yishol me'at sasek. There's a direct parallel between Maisa Bereishis, Chait Adam Eitz Hadas, and what's happening here in Eretz Yisrael, the Gan Eden of Adam Rishon, Eretz Yisrael for Klal Yisrael, no embarrassment before, embarrassment now, after the sins have reached a point where it's beyond return. Let's see some of the Mepharshim. Let's take a look at the Radak. Radak.
Embarrassment is the hinge, you know.
Yeah, embarrassment, obviously, it captures everything. Shame, that's what Klal Yisrael said. Why indeed did they marry? A new appreciation of why did they marry to Gula? By Shonim. By Shonim, Goymle Chasodim, what does Chazal say? There are three midas of Klal Yisrael. The by Shonim, Rachmonim, by Shonim, and Goymle Chasodim. Don't take for granted such a concept what it means to be a Baishan, to be embarrassed. You see a person doesn't have any busha, there's really something fundamentally wrong.
Today in our culture, there is no embarrassment.
I don't know if that's so, you have to know what that means. I hear what you're saying. I mean, you're talking about dressing. I don't know what that means.
This is where
it's all at. The concept of Baishanim, it's a very powerful idea. There are many different levels of Baishanim, the way you dress, okay, that's one thing. Sometimes, you know, if culture allows people to, you know, the way to dress a certain way, I don't, you know, you have to know what that means exactly. You know, we don't cover our face, we wear burkas. You know, we don't cover your hands.
That's not
a busha to have your hands exposed. Yeah. So let's say a woman. Let's say we know that in Europe, many women did not cover their hair. That wasn't considered to be an embarrassment.
There's still shame.
Yes.
In culture, maybe the bar.
Right. Changed. Okay, but there has to be. It's human nature. It's a sign of spirituality when there is an element of shame, and when a person has no shame, you can do things in public. You can do it avaros. Okay, let's say talk about a person who can be a ganav. He doesn't care. In New York, he's on the paper. He's all over the internet. He doesn't care. It's a problem. It's a very big problem.
Otherwise, there would be no such thing as scandal if there were no shame.
Exactly. So there is something to it. That's the whole story. Everyone's very worried about like, let's say, like Facebook and social media. People put their whole lives online. Don't you have some dignity, some shame? There are things that, you know, the whole world doesn't have to know every little thing about you. So it's telling. Is this the right? They say, especially with the younger, older people today, they grew up in a private life. Everyone, we all here did not have Facebook. No one had a Facebook account when they were bar mitzvah. It didn't exist, right? No one. So today, adults have Facebook. All right. So, and they put everything on. And I'm talking about not just have an account. You put it all out, you know, you put everything there. But children don't know from a different world. Okay, all the kids in elementary school, from the day that in certain societies, the day they get a hold of, they discover this thing called a computer, and they make accounts, they put everything out. And they don't even know what it's like to have a degree of privacy. How does that affect the person? It's yet to be determined because these people who grew up in a society where everything is out there are still very young. What are they? They're in their 20s, their 30s. How does it affect them as they go through life later in life? And these things are not yet known. But there is something very powerful in the idea of Bayishonim. And you see how the Torah, the Nevi'im, it expresses this idea as, like you say, is the hinge, the fulcrum of the difference between before and after.
It looks like this shame they have karata, what they were doing.
Exactly. It's all told, they have karata. Why do you have karata? Because you have shame. If you have shame, you need a good psychologist to bring out what exactly this means, but I think when you're saying it's really the other side of the coin, it's all totally zebzeh. Let's take a look at the Radak. Pasik Ches, v'nishmedu b'mois oven, roitzaloymar, base oven, same base oven, v'chein tirgom yoidus, okay, we did it for Chavis Shol, we don't need to do this. Let's read the next page, page 151. This is not like I told you, this is a new translation, a new interpretation. You appreciate Rashi and Mitzudos when you see the Radak, how he comes to disagree. Radak, the Amru leharim kasunu, Yomru Yisrael leharim kasunu, Meroiv tsara v'tzuka shetuvaam. due to the intensity of the pain and the tragedy, they make a request. They're basically asking to die. They're asking for assisted suicide. That's what they're asking for. Yish'alu sheyiplu heharim vehagva'os alehem vichasum sheyiyu nikbarim. They should be buried alive. Not what Rashi said. We're not discussing cover our shame. Cover your shame means you're alive and well. It just means, Adarabba, you're really alive. You want to cover your shame. That means it's a sign of life. That's not what Radak says. Radak is saying they're going to make a request for assisted suicide. We want to die. We'd rather die and instead of going into exile and being tortured and suffering what's going to come upon us.
Die of shame.
So that's not what he's saying though. I don't think he's saying that. He doesn't say the word shame at all, the Radak. Rashi does not say the word die, and the Radak does not say the word shame. It does not seem that we can put the two together.
To die to avoid the shame.
No, it doesn't say that.
The tsaros
doesn't say the shame. Doesn't say the word shame. It means torture. The tsaros. They're going, look at the Holocaust. How many people in the Holocaust, the mamash begging to die? We hear the stories, the horrors in the camps. People who it was just unbearable.
That was the Kleisenberger's speech. The first Yom Kippur after he said, Hashamnu, Bogadnu, that has nothing to do with us. Who did we rob? Gazalnu. We have nothing to rob. But the one thing that we are guilty of is wanting to die. So when we say Hamapil, let this be the last Hamapil we do. Because of
its
source. So
he was saying that he's machazik them. They should have hope. They should have hope. But Rashi does not. The Radak says you nikbarim tachteyem velo yisbelu hatzaros hohem. This is very different.
Right.
They're asking that we rather a natural disaster happen right now, an earthquake, whatever, and we should die because what's coming upon us when we go into Ashur is not going to be good. Nothing to do with shame. Rashi, on the other hand, makes no mention of death. Rashi connects it back to the Pasuk before, Pasuk Vav, where we mentioned shame. Two very different approaches to understand this concept of the mountains and the hills. And that's what goes, in addition to our third pshat, the drush, the mountains and the hills refer to the avos and the imahos, as we discussed at great length, as asking for that the being mispalel, connecting once again to the land that they're leaving, which belongs to the Ovois and the Imos. Now let's see the Radak. I'm going to have the Malbim, Pasik Ches, Vindishmedu, Shalidei Zen, Nishmedu, Begam Abobos, Avin, Shayu, on page 149, and 149, Pasik Ches, in the bottom, Shayu, Chaz, Vishol, Vakos, Vadadu, Yalu, Bemata, Al Mizbechoy, Sam, Ki Yu, Shoy, Meimim, Vachar, Revim, Adcha, Mizbechoy, Shoyim, Dim, Bechoy, Mugvos, Yoimu, Olohom, Yechasunu, until the point where they're going to say to the mountains and the hills, Yoimu leharim katsunu v'lagva'ois niplu leinu ki meiroiv hashim amayna. Yiplu heharim v'hagva'ois v'chassu es hamizbechois. The whole new interpretation, that the mizbechois, not the people, the altars, the idols should be covered by the mountains, v'kavru tachas aremois afar. Their advice, the advice that Malm is going back on his interpretation, their advice to, I guess, to Malshin, to slander the king, to Melech Ashur, backfired. But in the process, he has a very unsatisfying interpretation, at least, is that he's saying that the mountains should not cover our shame. The mountains that collapse should not kill us. The mountains should just bury the evidence of our sin. The mountains should cover the mizbechos. The mizbechos were a lie. Were a lie. It was a foolish thing that we did, that we had, that we worshipped idols. It's worthless. So they're saying, oh, look how foolish we were. Look how foolish we were. We worship idols on these mizbechos halavai. We should remove from sight the agbas nefesh, that this period of history, it should be covered over and buried deeply under the mountains and the hills. So a lot of everyone over here on the page really has a whole new twist.
Yeah.
Whole new twist on understanding these very simple words. Okay, Let's see, anything else we want to point out? No, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test. Now we get a little bit of a new section. So continue the same idea, but it brings out a lot of new ideas. A lot of history is going to come out now. Mimea giva chotos chotosa Yisrael. Now there are two versions. We have in our text chotosa, three times a komatz. Three times. The Mincha Shai quotes Rashi that it's not chotosa, which means you. It's a directive. You have sinned. It's a statement. You have sinned. But instead, it's chotos. There is no vowel under the sof. It's just a silent sof, which is chotos. Look at the Mincha Shai. We almost never do Mincha Shai, but here's an easy one. On page 151 on the very, very bottom. Mimei hagivo chotoso. You have sinned, Yisrael. Nusach acher, chotos. V'chein kos av Rashi zal, chotos. Zenokud rofei, it's nokud rofei, it's soft. What do you mean it's soft? It means it doesn't exist. There is no nikud. A way of saying there isn't, it's soft, there's no nikud on the soft. The soft is silent, and it's just, you end off. Shehu l'shoi nikeva, ulisha avar, it's the past tense, it's a feminine. A tof is normally a feminine word. Kimoi osos bos ozlas yod. So, it's just a reference to the past. We'll see a little bit more, but let's go back to the past again.
I don't know why he doesn't call Mukim Chatos Amecha. I'm wondering why he doesn't call
Okay, then he's Sukkim.
You always go to a Pasuk in the Chumash before.
That's a better Raya. It's a better Raya. Okay, let's see what it's over. Let's go through the Pasuk here. So let's see Pasuk test. Minei Hagivah, from the days of the giver, all usually first to what? The code word give is a code word for Pilegesh Begiva. Pilegesh Begiva was a terrible scandal happened when a woman in Sheb and Yamin, they raped a young girl, and everyone, not just one person, men, the whole community, was mezaneh against the will with this young girl, and when it was discovered what happened, so the Klal Yisrael, they took her body and they cut it up into pieces, and they sent it throughout the entire Klal Yisrael to rally the troops. And there was a civil war. There was a civil war which led to the decimation of Shevet Binyamin. There were only 400 men left when all the dust settled. And it wasn't, and Klal Yisrael suffered plenty. I think it was just 40,000 people. 40,000 people suffered from the Klal Yisrael. More people died in Klal Yisrael than the whole Shevet Binyamin.
You said like 40,000 from the
other Shvatim,
have been 25. Just
25, Binyamin. Binyamin was only 25,000.
That was after the second battle. So
Binyamin was only 25,000. So therefore, they were all killed, and there was only 400 left. And from Klal Yisrael, 40,000 people died in this horrible civil war. So it says that Bimei. Now here's the question. It's very interesting. Now, why is it? This is very, very interesting. Now, why is it that 40,000 people from Klal Yisrael died in this war? So we learned not that long ago, I don't remember which of the Mefarshim taught us this concept, is because the people in Klal Yisrael were no better. They're going to war to restore the morality of Klal Yisrael. Chazal say, before you want to give Musar to someone else, make sure you're not guilty of the very same Avera. So the truth was, Klal Yisrael were just as guilty of this Avera, of Zinus, rape, and all of these things, as Shevet Binyamin. The only difference was, they didn't get caught. That's the only difference. Okay, is that a rule in life? Just don't get caught. Okay, isn't that what Princess Diana told Harry, told William? He said, what did my mother tell us? You can be as naughty as you want. Just don't get caught. Those were her words of wisdom. Okay, Chaval, the words of wisdom don't get caught. So the difference was, why did they go to war against Binyamin, and why didn't Binyamin go to war? Why didn't Binyamin go to war against Klal Yisrael for doing the same thing? Because Binyamin got caught, and Klal Yisrael did not get caught. Okay, that's why the war was in that direction. But what happened? But Hashem, who knows the secrets. Hashem says, I'm going to teach you a lesson. You're just as guilty. You're just as guilty, so you're going to suffer even more. And you think the war is to punish Binyamin? Who suffered more? Klal Yisrael suffered. 40,000 people, double, died from Klal Yisrael than died from Binyamin. So let's, who's the guilty people? Who's the real guilty person? Isn't that an amazing idea? 40, it's unbelievable. Hashem, you can't outsmart Hashem. Okay, in the media, you think you win. Hashem, ultimately, he wins. Patience. Hashem, ultimately, he's in charge. That's what we learned a couple of weeks ago. A week ago, two ago. Why, indeed, over here, Malbum says a whole new pshat. I'm just going to run ahead a little bit ahead. Just explain, make it interesting over here. Malbum over here says, you know why they lost in Giva? Because it ties in over here. Is because Giva is a place, was the first place where the Jews worshipped idols when they came into Eretz Yisrael. It was a place of Muchun Laparanas. When they went through the Yam, they took, Micha took with him Pesel Micha. He took with him an idol. Even in the Yam, Choyma, Al Tikri, Choyma El Chayma. Choyma is, it was V'hamayim Lohem Choyma, Miminam U'misim Olam. Chazal Darshan, don't read Choyma, a wall, read Chayma. Hashem was furious. Chayma is not a light word. Chaser. So why do most people sing the one that's Chaser? In your shul, when they say the Shira Sayam, do they sing the pasuk Ve'hamayim Lohem Choyma, Miminam U'misim Olam? So there are different minhagim.
Right.
Three minhagim, all the combinations. Some never sing it. Some sing both.
Yes,
and yeah, some, the yeah. Foreman hug, I'm sorry, some yeah. Sing the second time, which is the same Aliyah as Shira Sayam, and some sing the first time, which is the previous Aliyah, and not the second time. So why would you sing it the second time? Why would you sing the second time, not the first time? Because you don't start singing until you get to that Aliyah, right? That's the first shot. You don't want to, you do it once. So when you start that the Aliyah of Shira Sayam, it says the pasuk V'hamayim Lohem Choyma. So that's where you sing it. But the first time you don't sing it. Others say Pum Fakeret,
right.
Because the second time is where the word Choyma is spelled Choser, and that's where Chazal make the drasha Al Tikri Choyma Ela Chema, anger. Hashem was angry that the Jewish people were worshipping idols. They had the chutzpah to take with them an Avodah Zarah in the Yam, in Kriyas Yamsof. So therefore Hashem, how could you sing that pasuk? V'hamayim li to sing, v'hamayim lohem choyma. What do you say? Hashem is furious. Al tikri choyma el chema. So there are those who have the minhag. It's not the common minhag. Most don't do this. Some have minhag. But dafka, you should not sing the second time, because Choyma Choyma. If you want to sing the Vamlam Choyma, you sing it the first time, because there it says it Choyma with a Vav, Ches Vav Mem He, and you can't make a Drasha Choyma, there's no Drasha to make, so there it's a good thing. So there you sing it, but the second time you do not sing it. Yesh V'yesh, every shul has their own minig. If I'm not mistaken, the most common minig is to sing it the second time, where it says Choyma, the Choyma, we overlook the fact that it's the Drasha, we overlook it, and you don't sing it the first time. That appears to be the most common minhag, but not necessarily. I don't know. I've not been all around all that much, but that's what I understand. Now, so over here, so he says over here, the Malmovil says something incredible. He says, do you know why 40,000 people from Klal Yisrael died in Giva? Because in Giva, you're not going to have Siyata Deshmaya. Even when your Kavana is L'Shem Shemayim to obliterate, to wipe out sin, to increase the immorality of the Jewish people. You know why? Because Milamed Shehamokoim Goyim. You know, this place has to have been a very holy place. The fact we have such a chosh of a shir here, learning, such incredible people here, only they come every single day to learn Torah, has to be something very holy happened in this Mokoim. Once upon a time, of Meir, you'll do your research. You're going to do what happened here 100 years ago.
99% of the time.
What?
99% of the time.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
You mean
100%
of the time
Mashiach
was
coming. Malamed Shahamakam, there's something to it. We all know that. It's a very bizarre, mystical concept. A Makam has an effect on things that are done in the Makam have an effect on future events. This Mokoim was the first Mokoim where there was Avodah Zarah established. It wasn't just, there was Pesel Micha was established. This was the center. This is where the church was. You know who the priests were? Moshe Rabbeinu's grandchildren. Rachman Litzlan. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandchildren didn't have parnasa. They were dirt poor, and the only job they can get is to be a priest or to be an administrator or to be whatever, to work in the church. Unbelievable. What?
Official Shechtis has a maisa. He used to say to prepare for the daf yomi. There's a lot of noise in the house.
Upstairs. Right. I said it over a few times. Right. I'll say it over again in a moment. Right. Very good story. Malamed Shamachim Goren.
Yeah. And then he found out later that years ago, there was an elderly Yid that lived there. His family Nebuch was not from Shabbos. And he went up there to spend Shabbos in that attic. So that was the Mokum.
He injected it to that Mokum Kedusha Shabbos. An official shechter attributes his success in the Marbitz Torah and the Dal Daf, how many thousands of people listen to a shiurim? Because he prepared the shiurim in that mokum. And only years later did he discover it was precisely in that mokum a person was Moser Nefesh to be a Shomer Shabbos against the entire Seviva, which was against him, which was not observant. He went there into seclusion to eat, to say Zmirois. He injected that mokum, and unbelievable, he gravitated to this mokum to prepare and to serve the shiurim, and from there, he taught Torah to Klal Yisrael. Malamed Shah mokum garim. The same way it's positive, it's negative. What happened in this mokum in Giva? Pesel Micha. So now when Klal Yisrael later is coming to eradicate immorality, they're not successful. They fail. They fail because you can't succeed in a place that's fully contaminated. Yeah.
Just wondering if Givra in this pasuk relates to the Givra Os just mentioned in the previous pasuk.
The hills. Interesting. Very play on the word. Fascinating. So, Velag Os Niplu Aleinu Mimeha Givra. There has to be some type of connection. It's too much of a coincidence. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. You have to say a good drush and put out a sefer. Marbitz Torah, the Pharisee Yechidish, very, very good point.
And I think everybody here has the experience of going to a very, very weird and very exotic place where no Yid never went there. And you make a bracha or you.
Hashem needs you to be there to sanctify the mokum.
Right.
Every time you find yourself in a place you don't know why you're there, you're there to either extract nitzaitis of kedusha or to inject it with nitzaitis of kedusha. What?
That's why Klal Yisrael has gone
throughout the entire world.
Shanghai, China.
Throughout the entire world, because every Mokayim, either there are two different ways to look at it. Either every Mokayim, there are sparks of holiness which have been planted there years ago by our, who knows, in Shanghai. Who knows, maybe 2,000 years ago in the Golos, the Churban Bayis, Rishon Bayis Sheni, Jews settled there. And they settled there and they cried over the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why 3,000 years later, when they escaped from Europe, somehow they ended up there, and they were able to survive there against all odds. Why? Someone planted seeds of holiness in this mokum, which would serve as a spiritual merit. We don't know how these things work.
There were Yidden living in Shanghai before.
Right. It was a big. There's a very big community there at one point in time.
Sephardic and the Russians.
Very big community at one point in time. Right.
Many.
That's where they settled. No one knew, and they say that the exact number of students corresponded to the exact number of seats. Is that really true? That story? You got to check out the details. That's not to be believed. Unbelievable, that story. Yeah.
Does anyone remember on Central Street near the federal building? It was a parking lot, and on the building where you had the parking lot prices, there was a big Baruch Hashem. Anyone ever remember that years back? A Sephardi guy had a parking lot, and he had a sign that said parking with the prizes, and there was a big Baruch Hashem written on it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, because that used to be a shul.
Yes, that was a White Street
shul. They have it on the tour. That building used to be a shul. Many, 150, 200 years ago.
Oh, that
where? On Center Street.
Yeah.
Over there, there used to be a shul there.
Right. Okay.
Okay, we're out of time. I just want to just read this part. Just tell you this idea. We'll finish. We'll come back to this tomorrow. Just to get that basic idea. The Malbim here gives us a new insight into why they were not successful. It's not only because they were guilty, just as guilty. The Malbim is going to teach us that he was possibly very well. Is because this was a mokum of Avodah Zarah originally.
Rashi says also, therefore,
that is why. They were not going to be successful. Melamed Shahamokoim Goyim. Now, let's read the pasuk. Mimei, from the days of Giva, Chotos Yisrael. From the days of Giva, you have sinned with Chotos. However, you read, it's the same idea. You have sinned. Sham Omadu. There you stood. You've stood there, meaning you have stood. You have made it a settlement of Avodah Zarah. You built a temple for Pesel Micha in this Mokoim. Therefore, Lo Sasi Game Bagiva. Milchama al b'nei avla. Sasigay means to be successful. You will not prevail. Therefore, since this mokoyim is a mokoyim that has been injected with tumah avodah zarah, when you did want to later do something noble and eradicate immorality, you will not succeed. You will not prevail in the giva. Milchama, in your war against the b'nei avla. The b'nei avla here refers to binyamin. Shevet. Al, upon, you'll not prevail upon the B'nai Avla Ben Yamin. Why? I'm going to go back to the beginning of the past, because in this Mokoyim, you have sinned. Chotos Yisrael Sham Amadu. There you sin, there you worship idols, the place is injected with contamination, and don't expect to prevail upon the B'nai Avla Ben Yamin, who has done a terrible Avera with this Pilegesh, and succeed in punishing them, because this is the very powerful concept which almost mamash finished the pasuk milamed shehamakoyim goyim.
You can say that in a good way too. Today is the yahrzeit of a cousin of mine, Alexander Appledore Ben Zvi. He was a teenager in Auschwitz. His family was destroyed. His life was destroyed. But he went back. He went to Eretz Yisrael, and he died in 1948 in Eretz Yisrael. He had two deaths. And each makam was a different makam. It was better to die at the second place than in the first.
Eretz Yisrael. He died in Eretz Yisrael. Schuz Eretz Yisrael. May his neshama have an aliyah. Okay, we'll stop over here.